Snakes. Landmines. And grass fires. A podcast about real estate. Welcome to our podcast about snakes, landmines, and grass fires. My name is Lester Langdon, and with us is our hostess, the diva of the Poodle Ranch.
I don't know about diva, but definitely the owner and proprietor of the Poodle Ranch.
And I am a ranch hand.
Yes, you got that right.
And so here at the Poodle Ranch, we have a herd of wild poodles.
Yes, currently six of them and two baby boos.
And who is that in your hand?
We have Mia, the black puppy.
How old is Mia?
Mia's 4 months old. Okay.
So we're just going to talk about real estate and how a real estate agent can add value to the transaction and to your property. And first I want to talk about why I do this, why we do this, because you're a licensed real estate broker.
Yes, I am.
And so we reveal the not obvious, and there are often unusual and unexpected problems. What are the underlying main issues? And you should ask revealing questions and find out the true answers. Who, what, when, where, and how.
What do you mean when you say we reveal the not obvious? What does that mean to you?
Every transaction, not every, many transactions, maybe most transactions, have snakes, landmines, and grass fires, things that we've never thought of. Every time I do a transaction, I see something that I've never seen before. And of course, every day I say I've seen everything. And then certainly that day I see something I've never seen before. So we in the following podcasts, we're going to talk about some of the challenges and problems that we've seen in the past for two reasons. One, we don't want you to fall into those same traps. And we want you to recognize how we add value.
Well, I can appreciate not falling into the traps, and certainly I don't want to be bit by any snakes, because we at the Poodle Ranch hate snakes.
Well, so did I ever show you a picture of the snake that we had here, the rattlesnake?
Yeah.
Before we built this property?
Yeah, and it was cut in half, so it was not very scary, not like it would be if it wasn't, like, dead.
So. And when you're not standing next to it.
Yep.
And so we know what to do, and we enjoy helping people, and we're talking about real estate. And I really think that this can be broken into three parts. You know, what happens before the purchase or sale contract is written? What happens, or what we should talk about while writing the contract or reviewing the proposed contract, and after the contract is signed and executed, but before the deal closes?
Okay, stop the boat here for a second. I think it works better if I ask you the questions.
Great idea. We can ask each other questions.
So
do you have a question? Oops. You just dropped all the questions on the floor. You got your hands full of black poodle.
Thank God for editing, huh?
We don't know that.
Okay, so Lester, explain what landmines or grass fires are, something that you might encounter before you even write the contract. Explain that to our folks here.
Good question. Of course, a lot of this, it depends on the experience of the client, and does the client need to know that the client needs to collaborate with an experienced agent. So we talk about basically what the client wants, what the client's trying to achieve. Of course, that's going to depend upon where you're a buyer or a seller or a landlord. and what your objectives are, and some of the future podcasts that we do are going to talk about specific transactions. Of course, we'll leave out the names and addresses to protect the innocent.
Good idea. So,
and to keep us away from lawyers.
Exactly. Those lawyers are out to make a buck for sure. So, okay, what might I encounter when I'm writing the contract? Or what might you encounter when during that whole process?
Good question. So, I think that we're going to basically, when we meet, we're going to discuss where you're trying to go, and you're going to be able to surmise from the questions that you ask and how I answer, and also more so the questions that I ask you, if we're a match.
So you just don't take on any client. You're picky about it. It's important.
Well, and as the client should be picky also. I'm also going to give you the piece of paper called Information About Brokerage Services. And you're going to, you know, we're going to talk on, well, before that, we'll talk on the phone, and you're going to go to our website at eustonius.com and decide if we should meet. I've got no planned presentation to sell you or convince you to sign a contract. And we meet, and you ask the important questions. And from that, you'll know if I can help or not.
So in some cases, it's kind of a chemistry thing, and make sure that it is a good match, that you guys are on common goals and on the same page. Is that correct?
Right. And we're going to ask each other questions, and are we right to work together?
Okay, so how can you assist after the contract is signed? And I know there's a lot of different processes that we go through, so why don't you run through some of that?
Okay, well, as I mentioned a moment ago, I give you the piece of paper, you know, called Information About Brokerage Services, and that discusses, that talks about who represents who, and I'm required to give that to you as per the state of Texas. If you're a buyer, you know, we may talk about what you want to buy, and if you're a seller, we're going to ask you when you want the money.
I want my money as soon as possible.
Well, then you're going to have to if you're not in a hurry, we can probably get you a higher price than if you have the money tomorrow.
What would be the difference between if this is a finance deal or a cash deal?
Are you a buyer or are you a seller?
That's a good question. Let's say I'm a seller. I'm a seller. I want the most for my property. How can you help me get the best possible price for my property?
When do you want the money?
I want the money as soon as possible.
Does that mean you need it? When do you need the money?
Yesterday.
Well, then you price it as such.
Okay. So in other words, I price it for a quick sale.
But if you want a lot of money, we can do that too. It just may take a couple of years.
I gotcha. So I can just price it very high and, you know, sit and wait for, you know, a couple of years, and maybe some sucker will come along.
I have to admit that there are some very unique properties out there, like really unique. And it's sometimes difficult to determine value.
So how do you determine value?
Well, so there are three means by which to determine value according to appraisal theory. The income or financial approach, the comparative market approach, like what are similar properties selling for nearby, and the reproduction or replacement approach. An appraisal will talk about all three methods, and then they'll come up with a final value.
So, wow, sounds like you do know what you're talking about here.
Well, we actually do have an app that I made that I can send you, or which you can download from our website, that will lead you through the process to determine value of your income-producing property. And you can go to eustonius.com and download that. You can use it on your phone, your tablet. You can use it on your PC, and it'll tell you what your property is worth. And if you hit send to Lester, it'll immediately send me the financials after you fill them in. Or we can just talk about it and I can put them on my spreadsheet and send you a copy.
Very impressive.
It is impressive.
So
if I may say so myself.
Yes. And I'm impressed because I'm married to you, but that's beside the point.
So. Well, you're supposed to be. That's part of your job.
Okay, especially as a poodle diva, huh? And to the ranch hands.
How do you figure out what a poodle's worth?
Good question.
Is what the market will bear, or if it's a he or a she?
Well, first of all, what exactly? If it's a he or she, what the market will bear, what time of the year it is. In other words, somebody really might want a poodle at Christmas time, and so you can probably get higher prices at Christmas. In real estate, obviously, it's not the winter.
It's not a seller's market. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is
a seller's market, but it has to be timed correctly.
There are 21 people that can be involved in a transaction.
Really? What are all those people? That's just an amazing fact.
Right. They are, I just have a list of them here. The buyer, the seller, the buyer's agent. The big question is, does that buyer's agent or seller's agent know what they're doing? Because just like any other profession, some are more experienced than others. Some have seen more nightmares and snakes and rattlesnakes and landmines than others have. And seller agent, the title company, and I think the title company really matters. As an example, sometimes during a transaction, if you're a seller, the buyer may ask for some repairs after they've had a building inspector or any type of inspector look at the property. And they may ask you to do repairs, and then you as a seller may say, well, no, you know, why don't I just give you the money and you make it the way you like it. And in the special provisions section of the contract, we'll say that, you know, the seller will give the buyer X number of dollars to be put into an escrow account at the title company for a buyer to do repairs the way they like them. And of course, this is better for the buyer, too. Well, some title companies will not do that.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yes, that's important. And so sometimes the lender says, well, you know, we'll just give it to the buyer at closing. And sometimes the title company, sometimes the lender says, okay, well, give that money to us. And after you've made the repairs, then we'll take the money out of the lender's hands and put it in the buyer's hands after the buyer shows us that they actually spent some money on repairs. So there's lots of snakes, landmines, and grass fires to deal with even when you talk about a title company. And then there's the building inspector. And, of course, we cannot recommend the building inspector, but we can give you a list. That's what our lawyers told us. And there's the bug inspector that looks for wood-destroying insects.
I.e. termites.
And mortar mites.
Mortar mites? What are those?
Well, there's really no such thing.
Oh, I thought you had some fascinating insight there bug.
No, that's just a joke I make when I'm talking to buyers.
Oh, gosh.
And there's the mold inspector. And that's been a big issue here the last couple of years. Actually, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that was a really big deal. And there was a lot of court cases. And it was basically the doctors versus the lawyers.
Yeah, I remember that, the killer mold.
The killer black mold.
Oh, yeah, the killer black
Actually,
mold.
every building has mold. It's just a matter of how much and if it's a certain type that'll kill you.
Right.
The killer mold.
The killer mold.
And so the doctors won. So it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. And then there's the environmental consultant, which is usually required on commercial properties. And, of course, they're going to go back and look at the history of the property for many years to see if it's likely to need soil samples. And there's the hydrostatic plumbing inspector. And, of course, we'll have a podcast talking about that. And they could look at the plumbing under the slab, under the floor, to see if you've got leaks. And, and then there's the surveyor. There's different kinds of surveys out there. And lender.
What do you mean, different kinds of surveys?
Well, there's an elevation survey, And that's especially now important, given the recent floods that we've had in the Houston area.
Right. What have to be above what square or what elevation?
Good question. I think it depends upon what part of the area, where it is. I know that this recording studio that we're in, where we're really not in a recording studio. We're actually in the dressing room, aren't we? But anyway, sounds better in here. But in this part of the city, we're at 111 feet, and some of our neighbors are at 108 feet, and they flooded. So in order for us not to have to spend extra money on flood insurance, we may get an elevation survey done and show that to our insurance carrier and to our lender. Because our lender, if we were lower, our lender would require that we spend more money on flood insurance. 1031, tax-deferred exchange, third-party intermediary.
Yeah. We should probably have a whole nother podcast on that very interesting topic.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But not everybody does.
Well, let's tell them. Okay. Well, if you want to do a tax-deferred exchange, we may have to talk about it. And if we really want to get complicated, if you're in a limited liability corporation or a limited partnership, you may sometimes get bad advice from accountants and lawyers that don't know about drop and swaps, but that's a whole podcast by itself. And then we've got another person is the commercial mortgage broker.
Or a residential mortgage broker.
Dependent upon...
If it's commercial property or residential property. Yes, yeah,
and we got that. Right. And some are better than others. And then the property manager. Some properties have tenants in which there may be a property manager. And then we have our real estate attorney. And I'd like to suggest that if it's a really big transaction, we may feel together the need for you to have a real estate attorney, and not all attorneys are created equal.
Okay, we're gonna...
It may need to be a real estate attorney.
Right.
Then we have insurance agents, and talked to several insurance agents. And we have residential appraisers, and we have commercial appraisers. And we have residential lenders, commercial lenders, and this is a big topic, nightmare, grass fire, snake pit. This is a snake pit.
Whoa, rattlesnake is coming in here. Okay.
We're going to talk about, I got to take an entire podcast to talk about commercial lenders. I just recently had several nightmares, and they were all with the same commercial lender. And then we have the owners association, which you brought up the other day. And it doesn't have to be a house to have an owners association. Some commercial properties have owners associations. So each person has a different responsibility in a world of experience. And importantly, each involved institution and organization, whether it be public or private, they hire new personnel, and they frequently create new policies which are going to affect your transaction. So if you have an experienced real estate agent, experienced real estate broker, he may have more experience dealing with these institutions and these people and know how to deal with these new policies. So this year I represented a seller and two buyers with transactions that dealt with one specific lender in California, which has two offices in Houston. And the lender, administrative personnel, had unrealistic expectations and policies, which we had to work around. And, of course, we'll discuss that in another podcast.
Lester, so one really important part is when you write the contract to buy, or when you're reviewing a proposed contract, can we talk about some of the consequences and some of these paragraphs on the contract that are written, they're kind of tricky. So can you explain further on how you deal with that?
And it has gotten trickier in the last 20, 24 years. This is how I might be a big value to you when you write an offer or when you review an offer that's come in for you to review on a property that you own. A residential contract is maybe 11 or 16 pages, including the addendums and the amendments. A commercial contract has 35 paragraphs.
Whoa.
Plus addendums and amendments. And it didn't used to be this way 20 years ago. The world has just gotten more complicated. And I also may be able to help, since I'm licensed by the state of Texas as a senior property tax consultant. And I've been licensed as a tax consultant for 28 years. That's the one way I can help. So each one's going to be different. We're going to probably talk about how we can save you money on taxes. One thing we're going to talk about is unintended consequences. And a major concern is acquisition costs. We don't want you to spend a lot of money and then have it go down the drain because you couldn't buy the property. And if you're a seller, we don't want you to have your land tied up or your property building tied up, maybe miss some other buyers, and then have this contract not happen. So it would have been a waste of time. So we don't want that to happen. So one thing I've been doing recently on that is it's writing the contract so we know real quick if the buyer wants it or not. I mean, if you can't get a loan, don't make an offer. but lots of buyers and buyer's agents try to write the contract contingent upon the buyer being able to get a loan. And it kind of depends how we deal with that. Kind of depends on each specific property.
Well, I can tell that you bring a lot of years of snakes, landmines experience to the table. And there's a lot that happens behind the scenes that a lot of people don't even realize. So that's just amazing.
Yeah, they're not talking to those 21 people. I am.
Exactly. That's true. So
probably 80% of my effort and my time is spent after the purchase sale contract is signed and executed and at the title company. I've got to deal with those 21 people sometimes 3, 4, 5 times. So there may be 40 phone calls, 50 phone calls, and conversations and meetings after the contract is signed and executed, and after the earnest money is already at the title company.
So it sounds like after you put the deal in, write the deal, talk to the other 21 people, I mean, you're making about $5 an hour, it sounds like.
That's happened before. I had a guy who was being foreclosed on, and he came to me as a referral from an existing client, and he was being foreclosed on, and I was basically doing a favor and ended up taking money out of my pocket to help the guy so that he didn't have any money, and he had to get the deal closed, and he didn't want the foreclosure on his credit rating.
Well, hopefully that's not all your deals where you have to take it out of your own pocket. But I really want to thank you for enlightening us on all these different issues that happen. And
isn't this fun?
It is.
We like helping people.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Lester. You're my man. Okay.